I'm Marco Werman. You're listening to The World. Iran's capital, Tehran, doesn't exactly have a good rap here in the West. I say Tehran, many will think angry ayatollahs, black chadors, crowds chanting death to America. But think again, says Iranian author Ramita Navai. Tehran is also home to crystal meth, skinny jeans, and outraged bloggers. Navai explores that less visible side of Tehran in her new book, City of Lies. In it, she introduces us to a handful of residents. They're composite characters because sharing personal details with a reporter is still a very risky business in Tehran. The book starts with the story of a man Navai calls Dariush. She describes him as a 20-something who leads a comfortable life in the U.S. to join the underground opposition in Iran.
He really began by thinking that they were a bunch of crazies and that it was a cult organization. But they really got under his skin. They really managed to impress him, draw him in. So initially it was because of love, but then he did feel ideologically bound to them. And he got sped up the ranks really quickly. And that's when he was chosen for his mission to assassinate the chief of police.
Yeah, what happens when he tries to do that?
Well, it's just a comedy of errors. When he was telling me, the real man whose story this is based on, was telling me what had happened to him, I was doubled over laughing. I mean, it's an assassination attempt, but it goes horribly wrong. So first of all, he flies to Tehran, realizes that he's been given really old intelligence. All the maps he's been given are completely old. He realizes he's going to have to stay there much longer than he originally anticipated, which means his mission is going to be much more dangerous. He's really badly equipped. Finally, when he attempts to kill the police chief, he gets caught. He's just really unlucky. When he gets caught, he was given a cyanide pill that he was lodged between his teeth and his gum. And he cracks the cyanide pill. And after about 30 seconds, they said he'd be dead in 30 seconds. And they said, whatever happens, if they catch you, you must kill yourself. You'll be horribly tortured. Of course, he's still alive. And the cyanide pill is old. The cyanide has gone off. They take him to the police station. They don't check him. The Iranian police didn't check his body. And he had a grenade, hand grenade, tucked in his trousers. He then attempts to blow himself up. And of course, he gets that wrong as well. And he just ends up blowing up his hand. So he now has a plastic hand.
It's a tragedy of errors. Contrast his story with that of Layla. She's this beautiful working-class woman with few options. What's her story?
So Layla ends up working as a prostitute, and it begins as working as a lap dancer. She's fallen out with her family. She has no money. And she turns to prostitution. And prostitution in Iran is a big problem. I think official figures on the number of prostitutes in Tehran, about 300,000, but that's considered to be a real underestimate. Because Layla is exceptionally beautiful, she really did make it as a prostitute. So she started off working the streets, but then she quickly was catapulted to North Tehran, to the Playboy rich set. And she started making sex videos.
Layla's story, like Dariush, is also tragic. What happens to her when she tries to escape to Dubai?
So this is the composite character. In the book, when Layla tries to escape, she's caught. And her porn video, the sex film that she had made, had ended up in the hands of the police. And they had been trying to track her down. And in the background, there was an electricity meter. And that's how they managed to find her, was through her electricity meter reading. And she is hanged.
So, like you said, I mean, these are composite characters. Layla is based on more than one prostitute. I mean, it poses some problems for the reader. You say everything you've written is true, but details are compromised.
Where I did use composite characters, I made sure that every single detail that was told to me in an interview was not changed, unless it was a location that identified them. The real case of Layla, for example, the woman was caught through electricity meter reading. She was caught because her sex video had fallen in the hands of the police. And she was actually stoned in Evin prison. She was stoned to death.
You know, we tend to see Tehran in black and white, you know, black chadors, white minarets. Why don't you think we see in the West what's modern, you know, what you're writing about, the crystal meth dealers, the skinny jeans, the underground bloggers? Why do you think the presentation of Iran tends to be just so elementary?
I think part of the problem is that the regime does not want outsiders to see Iran in all its glory and all its color. And it has social problems. and the regime wants to hide some of the social problems. Having said that, the regime can also be quite liberal about some of its problems. So, for example, the regime has got quite liberal attitudes to drug rehabilitation. There are crystal meth drug rehab centres. There are needle exchange centres, methadone centres. Condoms are given out to prostitutes. So it's such a complex society. And I think for me, that's what makes it so exciting. And that's what I wanted the reader to see was this, the underbelly of the city that outsiders rarely get to see.
This need, and I think we can say need, that you describe on the part of Tehran residents to lie. As more and more people grow up in a country where the fundamentalist rules seem, you know, just out of step with the rest of the world, they hear about and see on the internet. Do you think the lies are just going to continue to grow?
I think something is changing within society, and it has a lot to do with youth culture and the fact that such a big percentage of the population is young there. I think they are striving to live a life that's more true to themselves. I think you can see this in a real sexual awakening that's happening in Tehran that I've seen spans all social classes. Of course, you know, young people do have to lie and lie about their sexuality in order to protect themselves either from being judged in society or from the regime. So, for example, if you're a woman, you still are expected to be a virgin before you get married, or if you are gay, it's still pretty unacceptable and there are dire consequences if the regime catches you. However, I do notice that young people are kind of are behaving in a freer way as regards sex and as regards relating to each other. And I think this will have a trickle-down effect. And I think this will mean, hopefully, maybe I'm being optimistic, but fewer lies.
Mm. Have you ever had to lie in Tehran yourself?
Yes, everybody has to lie. You lie about going to parties. You lie about alcohol being consumed at parties. You have to lie about certain people that you may see and you may hang out with. I met many office workers, actually, civil servants, for example, who in the office would pray. But they actually were pretending to pray. They didn't know a word of the Quran and they were mumbling gobbledygook under their breath. But they did this because it would help them get a promotion. It would make them look good in the office. So that as well is a form of lying and not being true to yourself. But actually, I see the fact that Iranians lie as a very positive thing because they are so obsessed with being true to themselves. You know, it's really part of our culture. It's in all our poetry. It's in our literature that they are intent on living the lives they want to live, even if that means that they have to lie to do so. They're really adaptable people.
Journalist Ramita Navai, her new book is City of Lies, Love, Sex, Death, and the Search for Truth in Tehran. Great to meet you, Ramita. Thank you.
Thank you.